day live here at Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland on a gloomy day, but really, you know, an awesome day in the world of sports. A great game by the Wildcats. Unfortunately, coming up on the short end of the stick today, you know they're going to win a lot of those games, and you just love it. There's really nothing like college basketball. There's nothing like sports, and this is an awesome day. You've got the Bears coming up tomorrow against the Giants. You've got the Big Ten Championship coming up a little bit later on today. I don't know how Dave Ennett, and Ashley, what do you think? How is Dave Ennett going to get there? From, you know, we haven't figured all the teleportation system and we're going to be able to kind of transport him from here to there. He doesn't have, you know, Dave Force One or anything like that. How's he going to get from there all the way down? Is he just in a car driving or are they?
Yeah, he zoomed. He's zooming. He's flying.
All right. He could always call it from the road. It's going to be exciting. Some great stuff. And then we've got a great show on tap for you today as well. Coming up, we are going to have John Vincent, one of the greatest anthem singers on the planet. He'll be joining us in just a minute. Also, Eileen Ogans, she's a national travel guru, talking holiday travel and ways to kind of embrace the cold and some of the winter things that you can do, even if that winter thing is either, you know, the side of a mountain, maybe skiing or maybe on a cruise ship. We'll talk with her a little bit about that. Chef Carrie Nahabedian, she is one of the best chefs, one of the greatest chefs in the country, one of the best ones we have here in Chicago. She's also one of the biggest sports fans. Going to talk tailgating, taste of the NFL with her as well. Jeff Arnett, he is the master distiller for Jack Daniel's, one of the most iconic spirits brands that there is, and the host of really basically the crown jewel of the barbecue world for the Jack Daniel's Invitational World Championship Barbecue. Got a chance to judge that. We'll talk with Jeff a little bit later about the brand, about barbecue, and some of the things that make Lynchburg, Tennessee, a great road trip as well. And then when you think about road trips, so many of the Northwestern Wildcat fans are probably in their car along with Dave Ennett. They're using traffic with a lot of people heading down to Indianapolis to see that. Morgan Snyder is going to join us to talk a little bit about things that they're going to be doing in Indy beyond, let's say, just watching the game. And Angela Kevney is going to be joining us from Rowdy Dow Barbecue. We're going to talk a lot of barbecue. Barbecue's tough, right? Whether you make it at home and you spend hours doing the brisket or whether you're a competition person looking for that world championship, she's got a way to bring barbecue home with Rowdy Dow. You can bring it home, get it at the grocery store, enjoy it. I'm excited to talk with her as well. On the line with us now. And here's the thing. You've got Ashley Wright a little clip for us. Let's hear it.
The land of the free.
All right, Ashley, you can pot it down because we've got about two more minutes on that note. On the line with us, we mentioned it, he's one of the most exciting anthem singers on the entire planet. You hear him at iconic venues like Lambeau Field, Wrigley Field, the Gentile Arena at Loyola. Was just doing some stuff with our very own Dan Hampton, I think last night, and he channels the spirit of Sinatra with everything he does. John Vincent, welcome to WGN.
Thank you for having me. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing all right. You know, you think about it. We're excited about it. There's a lot of great sports going on. You've got, you know, so many things happening in the sports world, on the college side, on the pro side, all sorts of things. And, you know, the thing they have in common is the national anthem, and the thing that some of the most exciting events have in common is you. And so let's talk a little bit about it. You know, it's, you do so many songs, and you're the voice at Ditka's. Those people that go there on a regular basis get to enjoy you and kind of that broad range of the things that you do. But, you know, you have definitely made your mark on the anthem side. What is it like? Is there any pressure, you know, to get out there and perform? I know you've got it down, but it's got to feel maybe some butterflies. I don't know, as you do it.
Sure. You know, I always get butterflies. You know, you never want to mess up the words. You never want to, you know, whatever. It's like the most critiqued song out there. So, yeah, there's always butterflies and everything, and I think that's normal. I think that's something that you should have. You should. It keeps you a little bit on your toes and makes you prepared. That's what I think, anyways.
Well, when you extend that note, what was that point when you said, you know, because I don't know, and personally, maybe you'll know this, and I'm sure you're a devotee, certainly, of Sinatra, and maybe a historian of sorts, but did Frank ever, did he do the national anthem, like, ever? I don't know if I remember him doing it.
I know Frank Sinatra Jr. sang the anthem at for the Yankees. I'm sure Sinatra did somewhere. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't tell you for sure.
Right.
But I'm sure he had to have at some point.
It's just not something that he was necessarily known for. But when you were saying, like, here's how we can put, you know, a John Vincent spin on this particular, you know, this is the national anthem of the country. When it came to doing that note, was there a time where you were practicing or figuring out how you were going to do it and you had that note and normal, you know, the normal amount of time that normal people would sing that note? And you're like, I could probably quadruple this because the people go crazy for it.
Well, this is what happened. I started singing. The first anthem I ever did was for the Cubs in 2003. And then I also did the Packers in 2003. And I'm doing the Packers tomorrow, obviously, when they're playing the Cardinals. Nice. But the Cubs, and then eventually able to sing in the World Series. When I started singing at Wrigley, I noticed when I would hold the note, people would get excited. And there are people who absolutely, with passion, hate the way I hold the note. You know, when I started doing Game 6 and then the World Series and when Lady Gaga came out and tweeted about me, I was overwhelmed because I never had that kind of exposure before. And I called three people. I called, you know, Mike Ditka, I called Joe Madden, I called, you know, Mike McCarthy, and they all said the same thing. Hey, if you're going to be in this spot, you're going to get criticism.
Yeah.
But I'm a very sensitive person. It hurts. You know, it does hurt me. It doesn't hurt me like it did because now I'm at the point where I really, you don't care. You get to a point where you don't care, and all you can do is be kind to people, and whatever people do to you, that's on them. And I just say, hey, God bless. I mean, I get private messages on my Facebook of people saying, you know, you're a disgrace.
Oh.
You're a disgrace. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Well, John, here...
I get other anthem singers, very well-known anthem singers, that'll come out and slightly throw jabs at me on social media and things like that. I hold Free for one reason, and one reason only. My father was born in Italy in 1935. Around 1942, he saw a tarp underneath a tank, and they were dirt poor. There were 10 kids in his family. And his grandmother, my Nonna Gioconda, said, "Vai prende quel tarp sotto la tanca." Go get that tarp under the tank. And she wanted to make pants and fireworks for them, and cover like the firewood for them in the house. When my father turned around, there was a Nazi soldier that had a gun to my Nonna's head. Okay. And he said, "You can have it, but you're going to die." And I said, "Wait a minute, Dad, I thought Italy and Germany, they're on the same side." He goes, "Are you kidding?" He goes, "Mussolini was Hitler's puppet. They treated us like dogs, Johnny." He goes, and he showed me the spot in Italy where it happened. And I go, "What did you do?" This was in 1985. I was like 13 years old. I go, "What did you do, Dad?" He goes, "What do you think I did? Your grandmother's still alive." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that's right, duh." And I tell the story in Sports Illustrated. The only reason I hold free is freedom for humanity. That's it.
It gives extra weight and meaning to the song, certainly, to hear that too. And don't let it get you down in any way too, because you've got a person here and there that's going to come out. I think any kind of public person, like you said, you can't please everybody, but you look at like 40,000 people loving it, you know, a couple people here and there on the other side, you can just wait for them to be kind of converted a little bit down the road. I saw that you were actually doing the national anthem at Loyola at the Joe Gentile Center. And for those people that know a little bit about the program, you know, Joe used to have a station that was the Sinatra station. He absolutely loved, you know, Frank Sinatra, and we would play that stuff all the time. I co-hosted that morning show with him for a number of years. And so talk, if you can share, we don't have a ton of time, and we certainly want to give out all the information, tell people to tune in to see you tomorrow up at, you know, to go ahead and sing the national anthem with the Packers versus the Cardinals. But what is it about, you know, Frank Sinatra that has kept him, you know, one of the greatest entertainers of all time for sure, but like timeless, right? His music is still just as important now as ever.
I think that's exactly what you're saying. It's timeless. I mean, you see all these commercials and everything out there that use his music, Dean Martin's music, and others from that era, but especially like Sinatra, for some, you know, it's timeless. And you see it in movies, you see it in TV shows, you see it everywhere, and you hit it on the head. I don't know how else to explain it, but the guy sang for, what was it, 6 decades,
yeah.
You know, from 1930 to 1990. I saw him in 1993 at the United Center.
Wow.
And it's timeless, and a lot of people like it. You know, I do about 29 different voices, but Sinatra's the one I'm known for. And that's the one I'm mostly, you know, when I started with. But, you know, that's it. I sing. I'm a singer. I'm nothing special. I'm nobody. I sing to make people happy. If people are happy, I'm doing a good job.
Well, I beg to differ. You know, you can be as humble as you want, but obviously you mean a lot to a lot of people. And I know we got snipped a little because of the Northwestern game going a little bit long, and I know. But give the information for the listeners how they can see it, Ditka's, how they can see you on TV tomorrow for the NFL, and how they can follow you on social media and keep up with all your adventures.
Yes, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, JohnVincent72, and Instagram, JohnVincent72. I sing at Ditka's usually every Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I've been there 17 years, but I've been doing a lot of traveling lately. I'll be tomorrow, like, you know, we were talking about, in Green Bay, doing the national anthem for the Packers, Cardinals. And then I'm doing opening day for spring training for the Cubs this year. I did Duke and North Carolina last year at Duke.
Wow.
And possibly I'll be doing that again this season. We'll see if that works out. And that's what I do. A lot of private shows, a lot of, you know, corporate events, working on a new song with a new twist that's going to be coming out very shortly that I'm pretty excited about. And tonight I'm doing the Christmas show with Mike Toomey up in Evanston.
Oh,
so,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you guys are great. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. And you know, you've always been very kind and given me airtime and everything. And the fulfilling thing I'm doing right now is if anybody wants to contact me on Facebook, private message me, I'll go to any school anywhere for free to speak about bullying. So it's a very important topic to me, and I've been doing more and more of that. So if anybody out there is a teacher or a principal and needs come out to speak to, you know, the kids about bullying, and it's just terrible what's going on. I was bullied when I was younger, so that's why it's so important to me.
You know what? We're going to do this as we get towards the holiday time. We're going to, and when you get a chance to debut that song, we'll do it on this show, or at least be able to share some of the excitement around that. And I'm going to have all those links up at WGNRadio.com as well. And we'll have you on in the near future, probably the next couple of weeks or something. We'll talk some holiday stuff, talk about the song, and we'll go deep on some of the causes that you're committed to. But John, I'll let you get back to doing what you're doing. Look forward to seeing you on TV tomorrow and in all those different places. And up in Evanston tonight. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being so kind to have me on the show.
All right. He's one of the very best in the business. We're going to take a break. We're behind. When we come back, we're going to have, I think it's going to be Chef Carrie Nahabedi, and she's going to be on talking a little bit of tailgate, and we're going to keep it with the sports theme and a little bit of food as well for Taste of the NFL. Quick break now, a little late on news. It is 2:30 in news time. The news is sponsored by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. Here's Bob Kessler. .720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago. And on the line with us is one of the country's great and certainly one of Chicago's great and celebrated chefs, James Beard. Here's the bell. It's time for dinner. The James Beard Award winner. And she is known for all of her magic at the beloved Michelin-starred Naha and for her acclaimed Brand D. Honored to have the one and only Chef Carrie Nahabedi. And Carrie, welcome to WGN.
Thank you, Dane. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, here's the thing. You know, as much acclaim as you have had and as much talent as focused as you obviously are on the food side, food specifically doesn't entirely define you. You are a huge Chicagoan. You are a huge Chicago fan. You are a huge sports fan. I love the stuff that you share on social media, you know, at the Cubs game and you through the years and you with your brother and all that kind of stuff. And now here you are bringing food, you know, and football together and, of course, Bear fans together for a great cause.
Well, we're happy to represent Chicago and the Chicago Bears every year at the Super Bowl for the Taste the NFL, which is a great event the night before the Super Bowl held in the Super Bowl city. And we're joined with Sean Gale from, of course, the 1985 Chicago Bears Super Bowl winners. And we raise money for food banks across America. So it's the Kick Hunger Challenge. So all the money that we raise goes to the Greater Chicago Food Depository and all their efforts to eradicate hunger here in northern Illinois, Cook County. And the Taste the NFL helps every food bank in every NFL city. So the profits from this great event, which is attended by over 3,000 people, It's an amazing event. Go to help, as we call it, Kick Hunger.
It's kickhungerchallenge.org. We're going to have that up at WGNradio.com as well. So talk about kind of your relationship with sports. You know, how often have you had, like, important things happening at the restaurant and you're maybe checking out the scores, or maybe you're missing some time, you know, at the places because you got to be there for the game?
Well, you know, I grew up in a very male-dominated family, and my father was a huge sports fan. All my cousins, my uncles, and even to a certain degree, my sisters. You know, we have great challenges between the Cubs and the White Sox. My cousin Michael, who I own the restaurants with, he and his mother are Cubs fans, and his father and his brother are Sox fans. So, it, you know, you can imagine that rivalry. But growing up, it was always news and sports. It always seemed to be on television, was news and sports. And if you're a Chicagoan, you have to be a sports fan. I mean, come on, we have some of the greatest teams in history in our city. So, you know, and the season's so short for the Bears, and everyone should be so revved up about the Bears this year.
Well, you know, the season is usually shorter than people, I think, are hoping it's going to be this year. And here's the thing, too, is of all the sports, and they are all great, there's nothing better than a, you know, a hot dog at the ballpark. There's nothing better than, you know, sitting down for a Blackhawks game with a nice cold beer, some things like that. But there isn't, I don't think, a sport that is matched up more with food, and where food really kind of is front and center on this. And unfortunately, Kerry, you know, the Bears games, a lot of times over the years, in the last recent years, like, the best part of the game was the tailgate beforehand. Now we get a great game and we get a great tailgate. So for you, someone who can make absolutely anything, what are some of the ways that you celebrate, or that you'd suggest listeners to be able to celebrate or incorporate into their either tailgate or maybe their home gate at home?
Well, I always say, whatever you make, make sure it's not something that's going to put you to sleep once you're in the stadium, despite how cold it could possibly be, or put you to sleep in your own house. So I suggest always very spicy, invigorating food. Like, you know, like, I love a great chili. I love finger food, but it can also be healthy. I mean, you could make a great macaroni and bake lacquered bacon gratin and have an arugula salad, and still the male in your family could still save face by saying he had salad at a tailgate. But I think you should always stick to the basics when it comes to tailgating, especially in Chicago, like a great hot dog, some brats, Italian sausage, Italian beef. Like, go make some great Italian beef, bring it in the pans. I mean, because you have to remember, you're eating before the game, but you also have to clean this all up, and you have to, and then get into the stadium. So you don't want to turn it into a big banquet and forget that there's a game going on.
Well, okay, so, and that's the truth, too, is it's got to be kind of portable getting in. You got to be able to bring it there. You've got to be able to enjoy it while you're sort of mobile, right? You don't have a sit-down situation typically at a tailgate. Then you got to be able to pack it up, so you're right there. Well, when it comes to Thrandy, let's talk a little bit about it. It's at 534 North Clark, and, you know, with all the success of Naha, all the experience and all that kind of worldwide kind of taking in what it is that you like, your vision for the food, and what you think will resonate with Chicagoans. Talk about, you know, what's going on there and what people are going to enjoy when they visit you.
Well, Brandy is, next year will be 6 years. So, we're, you know, some people think we're relatively new, but, you know, in the restaurant world, 5 years is a lifetime. So we're really happy to have made a great impact on the restaurant community. And Naha, 18 years. And, you know, as you know, in 2019, we'll be reopening the restaurant as well as another project. So we're very excited about that. But Brandy is a really approachable, great French cuisine. So it's country French, it's refined French, and it's regional French, all my vision, because that's how I started to cook. Is I was classically trained, and so we have an amazing room that won a James Beard Award. My cousin Tom won it for best design. So aside from the fact that the food is great, you walk into a room that you never want to leave. So I think that's our biggest problem, that people never want to leave. And an amazing bar program. Of course, every great bar in the city has handcrafted cocktails, but just really tremendous wines by the glass, and an absinthe program, warm baked clafoutis, which is a warm, like a souffle cake with cherries and chocolate and holdover soles, but you could still get a great gratin of French onion soup, a potato tartan, a great steak frites. So it's very approachable. And right now we're getting ready to do French afternoon teas. We do holiday teas from November 30th to December 22nd on Fridays and Saturdays. So you get to experience a little bit of Europe right in the middle of Chicago.
Oh, that's great for the holidays. You mentioned it, that even within your own family, there is the rivalries, right, between the, you know, WGN has that long history with the Cubs, and now we're the flagship station for the Chicago White Sox, so we've got that. And, of course, you know, you've got the Bears and everything like that. Now, you think about the food side. There's always been that rivalry between New York and, let's say, Chicago, and now with the James Beard Awards here, you have a lot of people saying, you know, Chicago is America's great restaurant town, America's great food city, and coming up on Sunday, you know, the Bears are facing off against the Giants. Do you have any kind of prediction how the Bears are maybe going to take that away?
We're going to destroy the Giants, first off. We're going to destroy them because they're having a really bad year and we're having a really great year. But, you know, the thing about the Chicago-New York rivalry is this, is that you're never going to be able to compete with New York. It's one of the greatest cities in the world. So I would say, though, Chicago, Travel and Leisure, Bon Appetit, both voted it. Chicago is the greatest restaurant city in America for 2018. And our mayor, Rahm Emanuel, has brought more tourists here than ever before. So it's just an amazing city. It's a great community of chefs. And that's what people need to understand, is that these are chef-driven restaurants. This is the heart and soul of Chicago. Very, very diverse crowd. And no matter what, you're going to have a great meal, no matter where you go, whether you're coming to Brondi or you're going to any other restaurant, you're going to have a great time.
When you think about Chicago and where it is, Chicago may be with that great collection of chefs that you had talked about at Taste of the NFL happening down at the Super Bowl. I don't want to jinx it, but I, you know, everybody's kind of saying that maybe they've got a chance. You know, they've got such a great defense. The offense is playing well. As long as everybody stays healthy, it could happen, and you'll be front and center with them down in Atlanta, too. We're going to have links up at tasteofthenfl.com and kickhungerchallenge.com. And
we also so appreciate WGN. I was recently in the studio for television doing something for we're raising money for Washburn Culinary Students for Women. We have a GoFundMe, but Lou Canales, who is the voice of the Bears for your competitor for Fox, is also helping us, you know, because this is a Chicago issue that we really need to back all the efforts of the Greater Chicago Food Depository. So anything that you can do to help us kick hunger here in Chicago and across America, it's greatly appreciated.
Yeah, they do so much great work, and we'll have links up too for the Greater Chicago Food Depository. And Carrie, as we let you go, do you have a website or a place where people can go to get more information, get reservations, get out and see you at the restaurants?
You can go to Brondi-Chicago.com, and we'll look forward to welcoming you here. And thanks so much, Dane. Appreciate it. It's going to be a great game on Sunday.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, Chef Carrie Nahabedi. And thanks so much
go Bears.
For jumping on the show. You bet.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Guy Goody from Diners, Drivers, and Dives, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN. Put your seatbelt on. We're on the road.
Right, 720 WGN on the road, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop what is getting to be a dark Chicago. It's kind of gloomy. It's not cold, though. You know, I mean, that's one of the things. And so the snow we got is kind of being melted away by all of that rain. You just heard Guy there. You think of him, of course, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And we're going to talk a little bit of barbecue, and we're going to talk some spirits, and we're going to talk some Jack Daniels. Guy's actually a world champion, you know, part of a world champion barbecue team. Motley Q is the name of the team, and they won a world championship at the American Royal World Series of Barbecue. So that's cool. And coming up, so stay tuned for this a little bit after 3 o'clock. Jeff Arnett, he's the master distiller for Jack Daniels. We're going to talk about the Jack Invitational World Championship Barbecue Invitational that I got a chance to be a judge at, and so many great teams there, and it's hosted right there in Lynchburg, Tennessee. So we're going to talk about that as a big road trip destination for everybody. I mean, it's not that far away, and it's an awesome place. I mean, regardless of the barbecue tournament, we'll certainly hit that It's a cool place to visit and definitely something I recommend. Now, the other thing, Ashley, I know that you, I would also, am I going to recommend, or maybe you can recommend your own personal road trip to Spanky's?
Yeah, let's go. There is a comedy thing tonight at 7:30 over at Spanky's Bar and Grill in Romeoville. So definitely head on over there.
So, and you're going to be doing it, but you're there in an official capacity, right? You're helping with some of the media stuff. You're filming some...
I'm not participating in the comedy section. I am definitely going to be behind a camera filming all the comedians that will be participating at this point.
You know, we care about you in a protective way, obviously, here at WGN. And so we wanted to make sure that, you know, that is Spanky, you know, of course, it'll be a character from Little Rascals, right? Is it an individual? Is there a guy named Spanky that as you walk through the door, you would say hello to? Like,
you know,
Norm at Cheers? Or is it, you know... Or people are getting spanked?
I don't think people are getting spanked, but I can report next week how it goes down.
All
right. I think it's just your normal old little fun bar. Bar and grill. They have karaoke there, so.
Oh, now, are you a karaoke person? Do you ever sit?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So other than Islands in the Stream, what do you typically sing?
My go-to.
Garth Brooks songs?
No. My go-to is definitely anything by ABBA, for sure.
You're making this up.
I'm not kidding.
ABBA, there's a lot of people. I don't know if you're familiar with the band entirely or its makeup or the people. Isn't there like five people in ABBA?
There's four. Two women, two men. They used to date. It's like a whole scandal.
Do you do all the voices or just one of the voices?
Oh, I don't know how that works. No, I don't.
All right. Well, we'll have to play one of those a little bit later. Maybe we'll use an Ashley ABBA karaoke bumper as we come in. We're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to throw it to news. And we come back from that, we're going to talk with Jeff Arnett, master distiller for Jack Daniel's. So keep it here. It's On the Road with Dane, 720 WGN.
Whiskey River, don't run right. All I got, take care of me.
Hello, this is Jeff Arnett, the master distiller of the Jack Daniel Distillery, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Whiskey River, take my mind.
720 WGN, on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago. But we don't have to see very far in order to find a place that has and features Jack Daniel's on its shelves in one of America's great food towns, restaurant towns, cocktail towns, spirit towns. On the line with us, we've got the man behind the legend from Lynchburg, old number 7 in the expressions, revered around the world. Honored to have Jack Daniel's master distiller, Jeff Arnett. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's great.
You know, we were just talking off the air before we got on, and you're you know, entertaining some people from the Ukraine. You've got people from Dallas in. I got a chance to see you in action, being, you know, more of an ambassador in general, not only for the spirit, but for Lynchburg, for everything going on in all those facilities during the Jack. It was the 30th anniversary. You got to be one of the judges. You bring in basically, you know, the best of the best from the barbecue world, and you have it there in that really amazing, unique, and one-of-a-kind setting. So let's talk a little bit about that. As you wear many hats, one as master distiller, obviously with your hand on the pulse of the flavor, the brand of Jack Daniel's, but also kind of as an ambassador for everything, as you bring kind of the world into your world all the time.
You know, in today's world, clearly a master distiller becomes a little bit of a celebrity among the people who are fans of your brand. So, you know, that was something I had to get used to. I'd worked at Jack Daniel's for about 7 years at the time, worked in quality control, and was always behind the scenes here. But, you know, just loved what I did. A great group of people, great product. You know, and I saw a little bit of the marketing side because we have, you know, nearly 300,000 people a year who come through and take the tour, and I would see tourists on the property all the time, but I was no one to them. But becoming master distiller is definitely a game changer, I'd have to say. I still spent 80% of my time here, which is, you know, I think what I enjoy doing the most, and that is I think I would really begin to wilt if I got too far away from the process, because I was, you know, I was an engineer, and I what recharges my batteries is being close to making the product and being hands-on with it and working with the great folks here in the Hollow to do that. But it has been an honor to be able to travel the world as a face and a voice for Jack Daniel's, for sure. I recently had to renew my passport, and I was checking how many different unique countries are on. It was 39 that I visited in the last 10 years.
Wow.
Jack Daniel's sold in 170. By the way, and if you go to the, you know, when you're in the visitor center here, we've got this world map, and we ask people to stick a pin where they're from, and it's amazing to see, you know, how far people come to end up coming to Lynchburg. We're, for a small town, we're pretty international.
I was gonna say.
We had the Ukrainians in today. So, but yeah, that's a lot of fun. And the barbecue is, I think, one of a great time to visit here. I think usually, I think this year we had a sort of a remarkably good year for the color change. So the leaves were, you know, they were yellow and orange and red and just every color imaginable during the barbecue. And we're fortunate to have, you know, teams, I think, came from maybe 20 different countries competing in the group, as well as another, I think, 50 that were U.S.-based teams. But that's always a great event. We're one of the smaller venues. If you look at Kansas City Barbecue and the circuit that they operate, where they train judges, and we, of course, we judge by their standards here for the Jack. We come very late in the year, and we're a small venue, which allows us to have the highest hurdle rate. You know, not there are plenty of people who want to compete in the Jack, and most of them don't get in. You have to be good and lucky. So if you've met the criteria, you get in a hat, and then we draw your name. So that's where the luck comes in, is there's people who want to get in and just don't get in. But that keeps it special. I think for the barbecue teams, getting a chance to compete to win the Jack, it's a big deal for them.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, and you think about the who's who that is there as well. And for you being able to, like I said, have people come from around the world, as much as you travel, so many people, 300,000 coming through what is a very small town. And for the listeners who have not been there, you've got to make it out. It's a, regardless of what goes on there, if Jack Daniels wasn't even there, it's a beautiful setting. Right, it's a great little town,
but how
small is it? I mean, what's the size? Is it like 5,000 people, 500 people? How big is Lynchburg?
Yeah, if you look at what was the original town limits of Lynchburg, there's probably 500 people who live here. I know it was trademarked on the label, on the bottle label, that it was population 361, and that was back in the 50s or 60s when the label was produced and trademarked. But today we're in Moore County. We're the second smallest county of the 95 that make up the state. And I think if you Google Lynchburg today, it'll tell you there's about 6,000 people who live in Lynchburg, and that's simply because everybody in Moore County is now automatically included as a Lynchburg resident because of a metropolitan government. They didn't want any more cities to form. They didn't want to split the tax base. So we have a single tax assessor, a single mayor, you know, a single school system. It just didn't make sense for us to have, you know, different municipalities trying to compete in that space because it's such a small county. So about 6,000, but that's the entirety of Moore County where we're located.
Wow. And the city proper is, you know, it's a couple streets right there, but it is.
You know, it's got a beautiful, I think the courthouse is really cool. Old historic building built in the 1870s, and that was when Moore County was formed. They passed a law in the state of Tennessee that said if a community was more than a day's ride by horseback, they were going to build a new courthouse and create a new county, and that was how Moore County was formed. We were originally part of Lincoln County, and of course, our charcoal mellowing process, a lot of people refer to it as the Lincoln County process, and that's because originally Lynchburg was in a different county until they started chopping up the state into smaller pieces and putting in more courthouses.
Wow, look at you. So now you're not only a state historian, you're part of the Visitor and Tourism Bureau for Moore County.
Yeah, you learn a lot. You learn a lot as master distiller, maybe the least of which is actually taking grain and yeast and water and making making beer and distilling it.
You got to know all the rules before you can break them. Of course, you've got that down when it comes to those things, but you look at all those different hats that you wear, not only sharing, you know, the history in the town and all of the things that go on, certainly at Jack Daniels, but from the barbecue perspective, you're such a big part of what goes on. Obviously, I think as fans of barbecue and of whiskey and all the things that go along with it, I mean, they go great together. Your introduction to the barbecue world, was that something that came naturally? And how much do you get to participate in? How much do you enjoy it these days?
You know, before I became master distiller, I had been asked to judge in the Shade Tree, which is the non-professional category. But it does get you exposed to the scoring, the scale, and the criteria that they're judging by. So I, you know, I've had a firsthand judge's experience using Kansas City barbecue rules. But you know, once I became master distiller, that pretty much means I'm not going to be a barbecue judge, and it's simply because, you know, for the judges, they're going to be in a chair for about 3.5 hours, and you know, pretty much not able to move. They would rather me be out. When the weather permits, I'll walk around the park and shake hands and sign barrel heads for the teams that are competing. And I've been the auctioneer at the pie auction that raises money for Main Street Society here. So I do a little bit of everything on barbecue day, or have over the years, except for judging. But I have some insight when it comes to what the judges are going through and how that's structured. But, you know, I love the barbecue community, and I think it's simply because what I see in them is that they have a passion about what they do. They all, you know, are always pushing themselves, trying to get better. they all want to win. You know, nobody came to Lynchburg, you know, wanting to lose. But they seem to, you know, be happy for whoever wins, you know, and I think there's something to be said for that. They don't let the competition, you know, kind of sour their attitudes to one another. These people, you know, are with one another a lot of weekends. They travel all over the world and, you know, set up their campers and smokers beside one another, and they know what's going on with one another's lives. They're in one another's thoughts and prayers when one of them's sick and things of that nature. So it's just there's a sense of community about the people that compete in the barbecue, and that's why I love having them come to town, because it just feels like they're part of us when they're here.
I always
enjoy seeing them come, and sad to see them go.
Yeah, well, it's a mutual admiration society, you know, the barbecue community and the Jack Daniels community and all the people that work in and around it. And, of course, you know, they appreciate all the support. It's just a great opportunity to have that signature event. Really, the crown jewel of barbecue events as it's going into its 30th year is the Jack Daniels. And so it's great to have everybody come together. And it's very, very cool to hear how much you guys appreciate them as well. When you think about this, when the smoke clears, no pun intended, you know, we talk on this show about, you know, family road trips, just getting out there, seeing things. You know, this is a pretty close place from the Chicagoland area. And, of course, WGN, you know, at night we reach 38 states in Canada, the greater Midwest, at all times. So Lynchburg isn't that far from a lot of our listening audience. And you think about Jack Daniels and you guys in the town, we talked about how small it is, but a big part of it is kind of the history and some of the facilities of Jack Daniels. Like, the town's almost like a mini museum. So if you could describe for the listeners when they get there, the visitor center is absolutely breathtaking. It's beautiful. The distillery is right there. You've got so many kind of, you know, parts of the Jack Daniels world that are really there to see year round.
Okay, yeah, when you first come into town, we have a welcome center that kind of explains everything that can be done, and our parking is located there, the bulk of it. So it kind of gives you your bearings about where downtown the square is and, you know, what is offered there and, you know, some points of interest off of the distillery property. But, of course, most people are just going to come right across the street. We have a beautiful welcome center, a visitor center, where we begin the tours. So usually we get people in groups of about 25 or 30. And we take them through our property. So they literally get to see everything from where we make charcoal. You know, that's the distinct thing that makes Jack Daniels a Tennessee whiskey and not a bourbon. But we see the facilities that we've set up to burn hard sugar maple wood into charcoal. They see the cave spring, you know, the water source that every drop of Jack Daniels is made from. And walk through the distillery where they see, you know, grains and water and yeast fermenting into a beer, seeing it distilled through a copper still. Ultimately seeing that get charcoal mellowed. And then before they leave, there's a small bottling area. We do our single barrel bottling right on the same track of property where we distill everything. Most of our bottling got moved in the 70s simply because the brand has begun to grow, and the Hollow's a pretty small place.
Right.
You know, that's been a trick to be able to make every drop and ship it to 170 countries from the same place that we got started. So some things have been moved around. A lot of our warehousing is, you know, a couple of miles down the road from where we distill. But you get a chance to pretty much see every step of the process. And so we don't take you through an exhibit hall, per se. But, you know, you go through Jack's old office. That's the oldest building on the grounds. And you'll hear the history of the Daniel and Motlow family and ultimately to the Brown family who owns us today. But, you know, been around 152 years. We've been held by two families in that length of time.
Wow.
Been through both state and national prohibition, you know, things that could have easily have, you know, ended the company. But we've come out the back end and, you know, we're proud to be the number one selling whiskey today.
Well, there's,
and to be making every drop of it here.
There's reasons for it, right? I mean, you've got to be doing a lot of things right in order to have that longevity and to be able to survive and to be so, I think, well-respected and beloved in a bunch of different ways. You look at it, and I got to tell the listeners, too, 170 countries, you imagine what it takes to make all of that. And, you know, there's parts of it that really kind of look like a refinery. It's that big.
Well, yeah. You know, yeah, if you look at the distilling process, it's, yeah, there is like a refining step in it. You know, we have to take the beer. We make what we call distiller's beer from the grains and yeast and water, and ultimately that gets up to about 11 or 12% alcohol, and then we'll raise it to 70% alcohol by passing it through a still, which is very similar to like if you were operating a refinery. You know, I think when it comes to, you were talking about doing a lot of things right, I think one of the things that really helps Jack Daniels out is it's just very distinct. You know, I say that's sort of a double-edged sword. There are people that just simply don't like Jack Daniels and will never like Jack Daniels, and it's because it's different and it's not going to change. But I think that has, you know, much more served the brand, that we have a very unique character you can taste Jack Daniel's versus Scotch or bourbon, and it's just in it, sort of in a space unto itself. It has a very different character about it, and I think that's why people are so loyal to it. We have, you know, a great fan base, and we've built that outside the U.S. You know, we were just a U.S.-based brand until the late 1970s. It wasn't until sort of late 70s, early 80s when we had caught up. We were on allocation for so many years. You know, after Frank Sinatra called it the nectar of the gods in the mid-50s, for 25 years, we couldn't make enough Jack Daniels. So we couldn't think about being anything other than just a U.S. brand because we were short shipping the United States.
Wow.
But today, you know, since 1980, we've since expanded our borders. And, you know, we're one of the top 10 exports out of the state of Tennessee now. And proud because we feel like that's our postcard. You know, when people think of Tennessee, they think of pretty much two things, and that's going to be music and whiskey. And, you know, when it comes to music, it can be Elvis, it could be Dolly, it could just be Nashville country music. But when it comes to the whiskey thing, it's Jack Daniels. I mean, there's no arguing it. Created a reputation for the state of Tennessee as being a place where, you know, excellent spirits are made. And that has served the state because now there's over 30 distilleries that are basically trying to come in and take the reputation of Jack Daniels and build on that and make brands of their own. And I know a lot of those guys. There's some really good guys that are in the industry now and really doing their best to make a great product, which I'm happy for them and rooting for them.
Well, we see even up here, there's a lot of craft distilleries, and there's a market for it for sure. People appreciate it. But I think when you talk about, you know, the fan base, when that fan base includes, you know, people like Winston Churchill and Frank Sinatra, and then you look at this, and I want to get your thoughts on it too, is that, you know, some brands, you know, they have a demographic, they have a fan base, they've got a customer base, and it is one thing, you know, and for Jack Daniels, it's really all over the place. I mean, you have everybody from like a, you know, like a Frank Sinatra, you've got everybody, you have like Bono, Drake, you've got, you know, I remember, you know, Michael Anthony, the bassist from Van Halen had a Jack Daniels guitar in one of those videos. So of course the history is there, but are you surprised, you know, by just kind of the broad and diverse fan base that Jack Daniels had? And hold that thought. We've got to catch up on some spots. And so stay tuned. We're going to be back with Jeff on it from Jack Daniels right after this quick break on the road with Dane, 720 WGN.
Hey, this is Clint Boyer driving the number 14 Ford, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN Radio.
All right!
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. And here's the thing here, Clint Boyer, he was one of those guys. He was the driver of the Jack Daniels car in NASCAR. And if you head down to Lynchburg, Tennessee, to the general store there, you can see one of the hoods from his cars displayed there with the logo. So a lot of things and a lot of places that you'll see Jack Daniels that aren't necessarily places that that you would see other brands. And excited to have on the line, we're getting back to him, Jeff Arnett. He's the master distiller for Jack Daniels. And Jeff, you look at that fan base. You got Clint Boyer, obviously, as a part of the brand. Sinatra, you know, kind of put them put you guys on the map in sort of a product deprivation sort of way. But you've got current people, Bono, Drake, you know, so many people love Jack Daniels. Are you surprised at just, you know, kind of how diverse the Jack Daniels fan base is?
You know, of course, we love it that it's that way. We say, you know, it's really hard to describe the Jack Daniels drinker because they're everything from bikers to bankers. You know, they're young, they're old, they're men, they're women, they're black, they're white, they're pink, they're purple, they're a little bit of everything. And, you know, like I said, I think whiskey is such a social type of product. And I think one of the things that's very, very well served Jack Daniels over the years is, you know, our founder, let's think about the things that he was passionate about. You know, Jasper Newton Daniel, the person who put his name on our whiskey, he loved whiskey making and he loved music. So we've continued to be very supportive of music stages, and I think that helps bring people together, you know, from different backgrounds that like similar music. It can be sort of something that can be uniting and help you overcome maybe some differences or some barriers you might otherwise have. And whiskey can do the same thing. And you know, I think great music, great whiskey makes for great memories, makes for great friends. So we've continued to do that. So, and not, it's not a contrived thing. It's just that we recognize that this was one of our founder's beliefs, is that, you know, he bought the first musical instruments and set up a band on the square here in Lynchburg because it would bring people to town.
Right.
And as they were sitting there listening to the music, they would go in and, you know, get them a cocktail or something to drink and sit around and socialize and talk to one another. So it was a reason to come to town, and to get together. whiskey gets, I think, consumed for a lot more reasons than just the character of the whiskey.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's an attitude about it. There's values. In some cases, it's, you know, tradition. But there's a lot of things that will make people either accept a whiskey brand or refuse a whiskey brand. And when it comes to those types of things, those emotional reasons why people choose a product, that has been a strength for Jack Daniel's over the years.
Yeah.
That you know where this product is made, you know who makes it. You know, we've made no bones about it. Every drop's made in Lynchburg. We've done commercials, and we don't hire actors or actresses to get in it. We just take our townspeople and throw them in there. You know, like, you know, we want to be real about this. We want to be, you know, transparent, authentic, that, you know, this is, we are who we say we are. We're just whiskey makers from Lynchburg, Tennessee, and we'd love for you to come see us.
Oh, you say that and you kind of, you distill it down, no pun intended, into something like that. But is Jack Daniel's is what it is and what it means. Is so much greater than let's say the sum of the parts. When I let the listeners know, we're talking with Jeff Arnett. He's the master distiller for Jack Daniel's. And as we let you go, like, what are some of the, you know, because we want to encourage people to get down there. It is one of those places that people can take that road trip, get in there, see some of this history, and kind of get a piece of not only the great scenery there, because you guys have all of that in that little town, but a little bit of that history, and certainly a little bit of that brand and insight into really what is a phenomenon and something that I think we're blessed to have. And Jack Daniel's is blessed to have you too as its ambassador. So Jeff, is there like a website where people can go to get more information on the different products?
Everything is pretty much online as far as, you know, describing the Jack Daniel's experience, a visit to Lynchburg. It's www.jackdaniels.com. You can see what dates our tours are open, which is basically, I think, 361 days. I think right now we're only closing for the four major holidays. We're not open for Christmas Eve or Christmas or New Year's, or most of the even holidays we're open, because a lot of times people are passing through, spending time with family, and that's their opportunity to come here. So once again, you know, if they're visiting family brings them. A lot of time if they're located close to us, but we're always happy to see people regardless of the day. But we're here most of the days of the year, and I think are always looking to make a new friend. So
one of the very best in the business, and of course an ambassador, great ambassador for the brand, Jack Daniel's. Jeff Arnett, thanks so much for taking time, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
In the mountains of Tennessee, they like the smoky sauce, but over there in old Memphis, a dry rub rivets balls. Folks down in Georgia, they can't pick up their mind.
All right, 720 WGN on the road with Dane, right. Live here in the Allstate Skyline Studios, high atop Chicagoland. And one thing, you know, we love barbecue on this show, and we have had most of the stars of the barbecue world on there, and a lot of the competitions on there. And one thing that you know about barbecue, whether you're competing for it at the highest level or whether you are trying to make it out back, when it comes to great pulled pork, when it comes to great brisket, it's hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to do right. But on the line with us, we've got Angela Kevney from Rowdy Dow. They have cracked the code and have made it possible to bring barbecue home, have great barbecue, worked with some of the best in the business. He's worked with Hall of Famers, Rowdy Dow. Angela, welcome to WGN.
Hi, well, thanks so much for having me.
Well, here it is. So let's get into the story a little bit. We're going to get into the products and how you can, you know, bring barbecue home. You can make it part of your everyday meals, but this isn't the kind of thing that typically, you know, people decide to do. What started, what was the inspiration for starting Rowdy Dow?
Well, great question. I started 12 years ago, being born and raised in Virginia, moved to Chicago 20 years ago, but about 12 years ago was when I got this crazy idea that I wanted to have my own business, and folks said, well, you need an idea, and really pretty much like the lightning bolt from above, I said, oh my gosh, Dad's barbecue. Everyone loves it. Everyone always asks for it, and it was just what I grew up with. So being from Virginia, of course, it was this rub that just has this amazing smell, and then the sauce was vinegar-based, so think Carolina style with a sweet twist. So, in fact, I asked my dad for the recipe. He looked at me like I had 10 heads. And from there, really the rest is history. But what's so interesting as I look back is really two decisions I made to to make Rowdy Dow what it is today. And that was, I knew it was about my dad's barbecue. So it wasn't just the rub, wasn't just the sauce, but instead it was, you know, the meat, right? It was the barbecue, the sandwich that I ate all the time. So I went into the meat business, if you will, barbecue meats. And I didn't want a restaurant or to cater. So, you know, what that meant then was either retail or what I fell into almost immediately, which we call food service sales. So yep. Selling to, just think of it, you know, anywhere on a menu that you might eat, from a regular restaurant to a hospital, hotel, college campus, et cetera. I was helping those chefs put authentically smoked barbecue on their menus until now, which is in part what we're so excited about, this, you know, online sales, so people can have it barbecue every day, if you will, and you know, straight to their doorstep.
Ah, here's the thing, and you can go through the grocer's freezer and you can find things. And people who love barbecue know that, you know, oftentimes you'll have it at a festival in your backyard, at a competition, or some of those things. It's difficult to get it right when it comes to doing it at home, and a lot of times the grocery store just doesn't have it. But you've worked with Chris Lilly, you know, Hall of Famer on the barbecue side, with Bob Gibson. And then also, too, is, you know, a big part of NBBQA, the National Barbecue Alliance. Talk about trying to do it right and kind of pay homage to some of the best in the business and bring that style, that really great barbecue, to people at the grocery store.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, it's been a tremendous journey, if you will, for the past 12 years. But, it's real simple. It just keeps going back to, my dad made awesome barbecue. So as I, you know, took this just handwritten recipe and went into the quote unquote commercial production, right? We almost did, for example, 1 million pounds of barbecue last year. Anyone in the industry will know that I will only stand for authentic barbecue being made and served with the Rowdy Dow brand. So we've worked really hard with some of the traditional smoker manufacturers, Southern Pride and Old Hickory Pits. Those are the only two smokers that we'll ever use making Rowdy Dow barbecue. So what that means is, you know, real wood, real fire, which is real smoke. So absolutely celebrating, like you said, paying homage to some of the big names and just the essence of what barbecue is, cooking with that.
That is not easy to do. Well, let's talk about the products. I know the pulled pork. I've had the pulled pork. It is great. And now, you know, kind of the holy grail of the barbecue world, you guys are going to have brisket as well. So mention those two products and a little bit about those.
Yeah, we've got the smoked pulled pork, my baby. I call it my baby, the smoked pulled pork with a sweet vinegar barbecue sauce. Since then, or, you know, what, maybe in 2014, we were so excited to expand our product line and have continued to do so. So now we have a fully smoked whole brisket, and we also have a smoked chopped beef brisket, which we love. We're doing a natural juice add back to that, so that when you have it at home, all you have to do is heat it up and eat it. You're going to have the enhanced natural smoke juice flavors that will be a part of that reheat. Because remember, we, you know, this is authentically smoked, so we're wanting to bring that best of barbecue experience to your home. We still love all our barbecue friends, right, that have the barbecue restaurants, but this is just to make, you know, such a tradition that everyone loves barbecue, so to bring it home. But yeah, we're excited with the whole brisket. And then the smoked chopped beef brisket just as well. Yeah. So that is what's online and available for, you know, at home delivery.
Yeah, I got to tell you too, and for the listeners, that this is the real deal, and I'm excited that you have the brisket as well. And we're gonna, down the road, maybe in a couple of weeks, I'm gonna make this part of, you know, one of my kind of favorite things in holiday choice. And so we'll talk about that as we get a little closer to the holidays. But before we let you go, Angela, give the website out for people to get more information, maybe get those orders in and start enjoying some Rowdy Dow.
Oh, my pleasure. I'd love to. It's rowdydowbbq.com. So R-O-W-D-Y, another D, O-W-B-B-Q.com. And oh, by the way, if you didn't know, Rowdy Dow is a real word. I put the word fun into thesaurus.com 12 years ago to name this company, and lo and behold, it means starting a commotion, making a noise, and ever since then, that's what we've been doing.
All right. Well, we love it. Rowdydow.com. We'll have that link up at WGNRadio.com. We'll let you get back to it. Angela Kevney, and thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Oh, no. Thanks so much for having me. I loved it.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, so many people are heading down to Indianapolis, hopefully to watch the Wildcats win the Big Ten championship against Ohio State. We're going to have Morgan Snyder on from Visit Indy to talk about some of the great things that happen in Indianapolis, some of the things a lot of our fans can enjoy as they get down there to see the Cats. So keep it here on the road with Dane, 720 WGN. All right, thanks, Ashley. 720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Skyline studio. And Ashley loves ABBA, so she played ABBA for that. I'm sure at some point during one or two of their many successful world tour, I'm sure that ABBA showed up in Indianapolis. It is the place to go. Lots of fans of so many things, including the Wildcats, who are going to be there playing for the Big Ten Championship coming up a little bit later on tonight. And that doesn't define, you know, great sports events, even though they seem to have maybe more than their fair share, doesn't define Indianapolis. So much to do there. Obviously, the auto side, the racing side, and the great food scene and the restaurants. So much to do in Indianapolis. And the person who has their hand on the pulse of so much of it is the driving force behind Visit Indy, Morgan Snyder. Morgan, welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on. You realize, of course, this happens all the time. You guys, and for the listeners, you know, Indianapolis, I love that downtown area that you have. It is so easy to get around. It is almost a perfect kind of setup to host these things, and you guys do it, whether it's the Final Four or the Super Bowl. It seems like the biggest sports events happen in Indianapolis.
Yep, over and over again, and it's actually our little secret, but the city was designed, our downtown was designed to host sporting events. Like decades ago, we call them our founding fathers. They got together and they said, what do we want to be in 20 years? And they said, the amateur sports capital of the world. They designed the downtown to have all these stadiums within walking distance, and here we are today.
You think about the foundies. I thought you were going to say something back in, you know, the 1800s or something like that, and I'm not sure what sports existed, but they were forward-thinking people for sure. So we know about the sports, the venues. You know, they're new, they're great, and I'm sure the action is going to be great. But also, you know, people are down there. They're going to be out enjoying the food scene. They're going to be seeing things. I'm sure tomorrow there's going to be a lot of people kind of extending their stay in Indianapolis. What are some of the cool things to do?
Yeah, we hope so. It's actually a great weekend here. It's sprinkling a little bit, but it's kind of warm for this time of year outside, so people can get out and about and enjoy the city. Again, it's one of the most walkable cities in the country, so I encourage everyone to park the car, get out and walk around. There's a couple cool things that's really unique for right now going on. Of course, with the Big Ten, you've got the Fan Fest going on inside the Indiana Convention Center, so that'll go for the rest of the day. The Georgia Street tailgate is going on right now outside downtown and within blocks away from the stadium. But there's also this really cool opportunity with everything we have going on in the city for holidays. So all the fans that are in the city, you really need to check out Indy for everything we do for the holidays. Walk around Monument Circle, because right now we have our big tree all lit up, which we celebrated the Circle of Lights and lit up the tree the day after Thanksgiving. So it's really cool to walk around the Circle, which is the epicenter of downtown, a huge hub for all things going on in the city. So just walk around there, go get your hot chocolate, step inside Rocket Fizz, which has all this nostalgic candy. The symphony's going on, and they have performances going on that you can book tickets for to see the Yuletide celebration. I will say there's one other really cool pop-up party that's going on within blocks from the stadium and within blocks from Monument Circle, and it's called Miracle on South Street. So this is an outside tent. It's a heated tent, so it's like perfect for today because, I mean, again, it's not that cold out. And it's holiday cocktails, so fancy holiday cocktails under a sea of holiday lights. And so it's the big party downtown that's new and unique this year. So Miracle on South Street is one of my big recommends if you're not going to one of the Big Ten tailgates.
Well, here's the thing, too, is the food scene is great. And I think after the game, when people want to get out and kind of celebrate, or maybe before and get a little meal before they head into the stadium, and certainly tomorrow, you know, we're big fans. Obviously, everybody is St. Elmo's and big fans of Burger Study. So share a little of the places that are going to be packed with people enjoying some of the food of Indianapolis as they take in the sports.
So right downtown, I tell this to fans coming in the city who aren't as familiar with Indy, downtown will be packed with fans. So here's my advice to everyone, and here's where I think you're going to get some of the best food in the city. Head to some of our cultural districts that's not exactly in the heart of downtown, but still within
15-minute walk or a 5-minute Uber into Fletcher Place Fountain Square neighborhood. We just had the Inferno Room open up, and this is Ed Rudisill. So if you know him, he's done incredible work in the city with Black Market and Rook and A Part Under Thunderbird. But he just opened up the Inferno Room, which is a dark tiki bar. So it's kind of speakeasy style, and you're going to get the crazy tiki cocktails there. But that is a new hot spot, and that is in Fountain Square neighborhood. We also have Beholder, which is close to our Mass Ave district, which is another great district to go check out, that you're probably going to be able to get a table or inside a restaurant a little quicker than if you're in the heart of downtown. Beholder just opened up a couple months ago, and it was actually just this week named one of the biggest restaurant openings of 2018 by Food and Wine. So This is Jonathan Brooks. If you know the name Jonathan, he did Milk Tooth, which is our big brunch spot in the city. So he's continuing to turn heads with his new restaurant, Beholder.
And for those people, you know, they're going to extend tomorrow. A lot of people I know are going to be staying over. Are there some things you suggest, maybe a breakfast spot or maybe something to check out before? And it isn't that far for those people. And we've featured it as one of our on-the-road road trips. It's like, you know, 2, almost 3 hours, but a little bit less than that. You can get there. So you can kind of hang out and spend most of your Sunday there. What do you recommend?
Yeah, totally. So two places that are a little bit off the grid, both on Mass Ave. One is called Love Handle. And you might get love handles if you eat there. It's not the healthiest place, but it is so good. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum is Garden Table, which is a healthier brunch spot, but both fantastic places, again, along the Mass Ave district. That those are my top two picks if you're trying to get into a brunch spot tomorrow.
And then you don't have a dog in this fight, so you can be objective. You can share your thoughts, you know, but as somebody who has their hand on the pulse of a lot of things and sees a lot of the sports that happens, do you have a prediction for tonight's Big Ten Championship?
Well, it's truly not because I'm talking to you, but we're going and rooting for Northwestern because this is the first time you guys have been in the city, so we're really excited about that. Ohio State, this is their fourth time. They've won the last two games, so it would be really nice to see some new fans in the city, some Wildcat fans exploring Indy and taking home the trophy. So hopefully we'll see again year after year.
Of course, we hope that we'll hear a big victory here on WGNRadio.com. But win or lose, I think you're going to get not only fans of the venues, but you're going to get some more fans for Indianapolis as well, as they get a chance to check it out. And you don't have to have a sporting event to get down there. Like I said, it's a great road trip. You can be there in just a few hours. So Morgan, give information for Visit Indy. I know you guys share a lot of the cool things as far as events going on and a lot of just the kind of the general awesomeness happening in Indianapolis.
Yeah, go to visitindy.com. It's really our one-stop shop for everything going on in the city. There's a complete events calendar. You can also sign up for the Weekend 5 e-newsletter that's going to give you the 5 best things to do in the city every weekend if you're always looking to come in for random weekends throughout the year and not just around a sporting event. So visitindy.com or follow us on social media. We love to answer questions about what our favorite places are around the city.
Morgan Snyder, she is there, hand on the pulse, the driving force of Visit Indy. Thanks so much for jumping on the show today, and have a great night.
All right, thanks, and good luck tonight.
All right, we need it. We don't need it. We don't need it. We're going to dominate. It's going to be good. Thanks, Morgan. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it.
All right.
All righty.
We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we are going to wrap it up on the road, 720 WGN. 720 WGN on the road with Dane, wrapping things up here. Thanks to everybody listening to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. Stay tuned for The Beat with Harry and Karn. But right now it is straight up 4 o'clock and news time. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago.